Welcome to the Grin Gets Real podcast, a show for marketers by marketers to talk shop and share insights on the ever-changing landscape of the digital world. My name is Katya, and I am your host on this exciting journey as we talk to our experts who join us. In every episode, we aim to help marketers maximize their potential by getting real with industry experts across multiple industries and disciplines. From influencer marketing to e-commerce strategy, we talk through it all and leave you with actionable tips to help you in the day-to-day of marketing. My guest today is AJ Davis, the founder of The Experiment Zone, which helps online businesses grow their revenue by improving the user experience of their website using scientific methods. She's led optimization strategy for Fortune 500 companies and also led the UX research on the Google Optimized product. Today, she is breaking down how data can help you create relationships with your customers. So put your AirPods in, turn up that volume, and get ready for my guest today, AJ Davis. AJ, thank you so much for coming on the Grin Gets Real podcast. Really excited to have you on to just kind of dive into CRO.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, let's kick this off with sharing a little bit about yourself and just kind of what your area of expertise is. I'm always fascinated with how people got into, like, especially conversion rate optimization.
Yeah, and I always say there's not a straight path to conversion rate optimization. So everyone you meet in our field has an interesting story. I come to CRO by way of being a UX researcher. So I ran into the field of CRO as a UX researcher working on Google Optimize. And so I had the chance to talk with teams, individuals doing CRO. On the other side, you're not really supposed to be thinking about that customer or taking it in for yourself. You're just there to learn. Yeah. And I found myself having emotions about it. Like, I was a little jealous and wanting to explore it more. So I took a dive and left Google and decided to explore the great world of CRO. I'm really glad I did. It's really changed the path I'm on. And I love finding the intersection of all these different data sources.
Excellent. So let's, you know, our listeners are marketers, but I always really do like to break it down to the basics, especially at the top of a podcast. What is CRO? What does it actually mean?
So CRO stands for conversion rate optimization. And so I like to think of it in all three of those parts. So conversion is getting people to do the thing that you want them to do, whether that's ordering on an e-commerce site or capturing an email. So they would be sharing their email address. A conversion rate is the percentage of people who do that action. So total number of people ordering divided by total number of people visiting. And then optimizing it is to make sure that you are making it as easy as possible for people to give that email to do that order on your site. So it's the process of increasing that percentage.
Excellent. And do you find that people just get it when you dive in and you're like, hey, these are the things that we can change within a website? And the reason that I ask that is because I think that there is CRO, this world of conversion rate optimization, can often seem like, oh, excellent. So we're experimenting with, like, the color of a button and, like, the layout of a page. I mean, do you find that you have to do a lot of education in regards to, like, all of the levers that you really do need to push and pull when it comes to this?
Absolutely. I think that one of the most common things that the tools that are providing the ability to do A/B testing, they always give the example of the button color. And when you actually test a button color, it doesn't really move the needle, but there are lots and lots of small things that do. And so it is as much art as it is science to know what it is that you need to test. And so oftentimes you find people kind of in two camps. You find folks who have lots and lots of ideas and want to change everything about their site all the time. And for those folks, we've got to help them prioritize. And then for other people, it's about, you know, how much change can we really see? They may be really focused on the metrics and helping illustrate the bigger impact that conversion rate optimization can have beyond, you know, changing the direction or the trends in your data, but to really understanding your customer.
Well, and let's dive into that, because what I find really interesting about just kind of what it is that you're doing is your approach. Because when we originally connected, we were talking about data to help you create relationships. And to me, it almost seems like those two maybe make sense, but aren't like a direct line as well too. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I maybe have a very unique position in this space because I do come from the product development world where it was all about asking questions, understanding people's workflows and problems and how they use interfaces. And so it was really about having empathy and understanding for your customer and building an understanding and then a relationship with them. And CRO is then saying, of all those learnings, which had the biggest impact and how much did it impact and who did it impact? And so the intersection of those two things is really exciting for me because I get to nerd out on data all the time, but also because it's not just about did it win or not, but what can we take away from what we saw in the data? What might that mean for the way we brand ourselves or position what we do? What might that mean for our sales conversations? There's all sorts of things where you can test out an idea with an A/B test and then apply it in all these other ways.
Do you have an example that you can provide? I love examples because it's a great way to take that theory of what you're talking about and put it in place.
Yeah, absolutely. I think an example that might help ground us is we did some testing with a customer. And when we did A/B testing, the visitors just weren't really responding in a way that we expected. So we paired the A/B testing with some user research. And we thought, oh, it must just be the mobile experience. There were lower conversion rates. The drop-off was usually higher up in the funnel. And we just weren't seeing as much of an impact when we made changes relative on desktop. So we had all this data going into this conversation and we figured we'd just figure out why these things were happening. But what it ended up happening was we heard about this new problem we had no idea about, which was the mobile navigation was crazy and super confusing. It had so much detail and participant after participant, despite us not structuring the study to learn anything about this, said, wow, this business sells a lot of different things. And it pointed to this bigger opportunity to say, are you really structuring your site in a way that visitors can understand what it is you offer?
Yeah.
And so through this combination of research and tests not really turning out like we expected, we ended up really impacting their whole merchandising strategy and therefore, you know, how they do landing pages, how they talk about what they do, because it called into question, people see you as XYZ company, but you're selling A through Z. So how do we let them know about it? And is it the right strategy?
I love that example because it's true. I think, well, for one, it's such a positive way of looking at things, right? In general, it's like, okay, we did this and then there's this unexpected, like, let's dive a little bit deeper. The other thing I really appreciate about what you said was it sounded like you were looking at more than one metric when it came to identifying, was it a success from the original objective or was it not a success? That's a backwards way of saying it. Anyways, what I'm trying to just kind of get to is what do you look at when you're trying to see what did this meet my objective? Is there a magic bullet metric for each objective? I know the answer is probably no in general, but like I would love for people to understand like, hey, if you have objective A, let's say it's, you know, I want to get more people downloading a particular asset on my website, right? I've got this really sexy ebook. How do I get them to convert? Like, what am I looking at? Am I looking just at downloads to say, yes, what I tested was a success? Does that question make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And I think this is something that I think a lot of people new to CRO tend to focus on one of two things, and you don't want to leave either thing behind. So
yeah.
One thing is overall. So if you're trying to do those ebook downloads, you absolutely need to know what your goal is and what your numbers are for that goal.
Yeah.
But that's often not the thing that's next to the change you made. So let's play out that scenario. So let's say your goal is to get more ebooks and you have an idea for something on your homepage to kind of capture someone's attention with the idea that then they'll do some discovery and then ultimately want to download the ebook.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, we're not just touching the button that says download. Even if we were, there's probably an email address because you want to do a lead capture. So you could do even simply, did somebody start filling out the form? Did they submit the form? And the farther away you get from the KPI, that's the main thing you're trying to change, you've got to track all the things in between. So the second thing a lot of people do is just track the thing right next to it. So people come to my homepage, do they stay? Do they click to get to this other page?
Yeah.
That's also useful to know. But even stronger is, did they stay? Did they click to the next thing? Did they do these other actions like use the nav? Did they fill out a contact form? Because what ends up happening is we have a hypothesis of what's going to change, what we want to change, and what's close to the variable that we changed. But sometimes other things can get impacted.
Yeah.
My favorite go-to story for this is we ran an email signup campaign and ran a test to just add an email capture in the banner. And we saw an 11% site-wide increase to orders as a result of what we did.
That's amazing.
And if we hadn't been looking at orders and just making sure we understood the data, we would not have learned that the customers were getting this banner blindness to the free shipping message. And so the free shipping message and the email were alternating, and we suddenly like brought to life this piece of information that was really valuable to the business and to the customer. And so that's part of why you can't just look at one metric or just that line of metrics. You need to understand what else could be impacted by this change.
Yeah, I always like to say that the metrics, the KPIs, like those quantifiable things are really what help you tell the story of what's going on, right? I would like to double click into the relationship aspect of it, because everything that you're saying to me so far totally makes sense. But it's hard to make this leap from this quantitative to this qualitative. Like, how do I use that then to create a relationship with my customer?
Yeah. I mean, I think the most important thing with human connection is to feel heard.
Yeah.
It's to listen and then to feel heard. And
yes,
conversion rate optimization gives us a chance to test in the real world, if we echo back certain messages to our customer, do they feel heard? Do they respond to it? And then if that is the case, how do we continue building on that same sort of messaging and connection? And it's really hard to get the right message, but CRO can be a great way to test it out and get that real data on it. If you are strictly doing CRO to make strictly visual design changes and choices like blue versus red, we get any different interactions, you're not going to build up an understanding or grow that relationship. But if you start thinking about who is my customer, what is her problem? How does she word her problem? And how does the solution that we're putting out there, how does that help her solve that problem? We start thinking in a more customer-centric way. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we can shift from me, 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 this is a billboard, learn all about our customer or our products and what we're doing for you. Instead, it's we hear who you are, we hear what you need, and we're here to help you solve that. And framing it in a way that the customer really gets shortcuts the path to conversion. But I think more importantly, it builds trust quickly and it can build lifetime value with that customer because you are heard, you're not as transactional.
Yeah, absolutely. Preach. I almost feel like we need to take a moment of silence for that. Well, because it's absolutely true. I think that as marketers, we gravitate towards like, hey, this is what my value prop is. Look at me, see me. Isn't this fantastic? Where if you flip that upside down, I mean, I'm sure that you've heard this, that this brand storytelling is making really like your customer the hero of the story. That's essentially what you want to do, right? I want to be a better XYZ person from your product, whether that's a service or whether that's like something I'm buying online from like, you know, a D2C standpoint, which actually brings me to my next question. From a CRO perspective, are the kind of key base pillar items of like what a killer CRO strategy is that going to be the same for something a little bit more B2B and service-based versus like an e-commerce store, if I'm selling, you know, sunglasses, accessories, like makeup, like what are kind of the key differences to that CRO approach for both types of websites?
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of this, the methodology is very consistent, right? You need to marry the A-B testing and the qualitative research, But when you start getting into solutioning and understanding what it is to put out there for the customer, it's going to be pretty different because customers are different. And even within each of those worlds, it's going to be really different. So like a higher priced D2C product that's in the home, you can imagine the whole family needs to be bought in and needs to like analyze it. And there's a sharing aspect to it. Versus if it's a product I'm buying for myself for a specific thing I need, I don't need to consult anyone. And I just need the like, does it solve the thing I have the problem with?
Yeah.
And similarly, as you get into more B2B cases, there are, you know, there's the buyer versus the user and how do you talk to each of those audiences? And so I think it really comes down to like, who are the people involved? Again, everything I'm going to tell you is about like, how do we picture the person on the other side of the computer?
And I love that message.
Who's at that table, right? Like who, how many computers are there? How do they connect to each other? And moving beyond just like thinking about the clicks and the counts.
Well, yeah. And I think what would be interesting, I mean, like I'm obviously very sold on that, but I also know that most brands have multiple buyer personas that they're trying to reach out to, multiple customers. I feel like the family is probably easier because you can, I don't know, I guess I visually see a family in a home, right? Mm-hmm. But if you have different customers and different needs, I can see this tendency to want to splash everything at like above the fold and talking to everybody. And it almost becomes a little chaotic, right? Like from that standpoint. So what's your advice on how you parse it down so that you are connecting with people, but you know, you can't connect with all the people all the time coming to your website?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you have to prioritize is one. And I think that's the hardest thing in everything anyone does is saying, I'm going to say no to some opportunities or I'm going to, I think it's scary for a lot of companies to think about declaring who their customer isn't.
Oh.
But it's a really powerful and really generous thing to do to say, here's my customer. And if this isn't you, like I'm saving you time so you don't have to waste your time researching to see if I might be able to solve your problem. And it resonates better with the person who knows that they have the problem. They don't have to think twice about if this is for them. Within that though, of course, there's like even just the buyer versus the user, they're going to have different information needs. They're going to be involved in the process at different steps. And so I love to borrow from the product development world and think about from a high-tech product development team, we would like map out all the different people and how they would interact and what's that journey look like and where do they overlap and what do those look like? And to simplify that for people, because that can be a lot, it really comes down to, is there a particular path, like a landing page or a particular part of your site where if someone finds themselves there, they can get to the nitty gritty of who they are and how they have the relationship with you. And then for people who are more general and may not find those pages right away, how do you lead them to those pages? So it's a little different than like a strict one page funnel where you know exactly your customer, tell them exactly what they need to know and have the buy button. Instead, it becomes this more complex navigation path to get them to the content they need so you can maximize the value from all visits.
And you really do have to dig in to evaluate that entire customer journey to really make those iterations on your website, regardless of D2C or B2B. Now, can you break down like the pillars of a CRO strategy? Like if I had to pull those out and bullet point it out, what would those pillars be?
I would say I would do it in two ways. So one are the skills you need to do CRO. So you need to have quantitative data analytics skills. You need to be able to dig into the numbers, understand what they mean, tell that story from them. On the flip side, you need to be understanding how to get information from customers. So user research is the second one. It is an art as much as it is a science. I've already used that phrase today, but I will it is such a big part of our craft to be able to balance. I can't just ask my customer, what do you need? Because I may not hear what they need me to hear because I'll hear what they actually say. And so it's this art of research where you construct research plans and have really smart, you know, discussion guides to get to the crux of what's going on.
Oh my God, I have to interrupt you because that is money in the bank right there. As someone who interviews people a ton, like that is also, it's so funny because that applies to so many different things. You are going to get exactly what they think that they need, but that may not actually be what they need. So I love that everything that you're saying really is kind of almost looking at like a bit of like that silver lining of like, what are they not saying? What are they, what is this not telling me? Or what did it, what result told me something that I didn't expect it to? Like, it's so fantastic. Sorry, I totally interrupted you, but that like you just absolutely hit the nerve right there. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think research, I will very biased in my response about this. Research has served me so well in better interacting with my family, my colleagues, like all these other things, the ability to ask good questions and to listen in a way to understand meaning as opposed to what they say. There's, we could talk about it for a long time,
but it is also valuable. True. Yes. Super valuable being able to listen to that, but also, and I feel like this could potentially apply to the CRO world if you can craft it in that way, is asking it in a different way, right? Like, because that, I know that I find that I will do that if I'm trying to get down to like, what is it actually that you're looking for? What do you need? You told me what you need. I've asked you a question. You've answered it. I will sometimes find a way to ask it three different ways to see if I, one, get the same answer, or two, I'm able to extract something from that. Do you think that that is also an approach that works from a CRO perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think some other principles from research that apply are you have to ask about behaviors that have already happened as opposed to predicting how someone will behave. You ask anyone on January 1, they have New Year's resolutions. You ask anyone on December 31st, and the reflection on those resolutions are quite different. And so this plays out across any research you do. If you ask people how you think you would use the product, it's going to be very different than asking, how did you use the product? Or how did you use my competitor's product? Or tell me about the last time you used it. Be really specific. Give me an example. Like, describe that example. Because the more specific we can get a participant to be, the more concrete it will be. Instead of saying, this is true for everyone, this is true for me, and you get more detail from it.
I love it. I totally interrupted you on the pillars. Next time we'll talk about research.
Yeah, just to round it out with the pillars, you know, there's a two sides of the coin for research and for data that go hand in hand, but are different skill sets. There's the ability to translate a hypothesis or idea into something. So that's design, copywriting, and development to build it out. And then the whole strategy layer of how do we know what it is we should test, why we should test it, when we should test it, who we should test it with. Yeah. And so just like, maybe it's not a pillar, but it's like the bench on top of the pillars on their stool of like,
this is
strategy. And these are all the skills that go hand in hand to execute it well.
The when is really interesting too. I would imagine that just kind of in your line of work, people are wanting to test. Like a novice would want to test anything at all the time, right?
Yeah. And in general, we want to test things. And then if we have belief that it might have been impacted by time, we want to test it again to make sure it holds. The exception to that is holiday period. People have a really different motivation to come and shop or to come to a store, or they have a lot going on. And so you need to think carefully about what to test in that period. And then similarly, if there's like promotional things or branding changes or things that might be kind of affecting the whole ecosystem, it may be useful to revisit certain hypotheses if they intersect with those changes. So generally safe to test like UX flow things, but if it's riskier to test messaging and how we connect with our customer in times when you have all these other things in flux.
You do sound just like a scientist too. Like you're keeping the controls, right? Like only change so much, and we to truly be able to extract that information that can help you be more strategic. It's fantastic. I love it. Okay, so it is projection time. I would love to hear your thoughts on what you see changing in the world of marketing over, you know, maybe the next year or two.
Yeah, I think that as people are coming out of the COVID world, we have all these new structures to relationships and dynamics. And I think that that is going to play out in some really interesting ways in terms of where people live and how people spend their time on computers, off of computers.
Yeah.
So my prediction is that we're about to see a bunch of things stick and a bunch of things unstick. And it's going to be really chaotic and very fun. So it's not a very narrow prediction, but what it is a call to action of make sure to keep an eye on all your data points as we're going through this like super bumpy road, because it will be easy for things to slip by when we're going through a lot of change.
I love it. This has been so helpful. Thank you so much for coming on, talking to us about the world of CRO as a scientist, as a practitioner. I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on. This is a lot of fun.
Excellent. Okay. So what did I love about this podcast? So glad you asked. I loved how quantifiable and qualitative attributes play together to help foster a relationship with your customers. So often, the thought process behind CRO is to change very specific things to drive revenue, which it is, but it's also so much more than that. It's important to keep in mind that a conversion is not just dollars. It is driving people to take an action, and that can look like many things. It can look like a download of content, an email newsletter sign up, or time on page. Like most things with marketing, though, there are all sorts of variables that come into play when answering even the most basic question. The same can be said about CRO. There's no silver bullet metric. There's no silver bullet layout to a page. There's just no silver bullet. Look at the data to inform and tell your story. And that story should be centered around the customer. Make the customer the hero of your story and value by showcasing the customer, not putting them in the back seat. Want to hear more? Be sure to subscribe to the Grin Gets Real podcast to get the latest episodes and give us some stars. I wouldn't mind 5 of them, and leave us a review. Connect with me on social. You can find me on LinkedIn. And if you're interested in learning more about Grin, visit our website at grin.co. Until next time, keep grinning.